You know, in the book of John, it tells us that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus also said that, I am he who was, who is, and who is to come. In this arena of way, truth, and life, it's almost like it's a three-dimensional arena where Jesus even said himself, I am he who was, who is, and who is to come. And there's a dimension that God is desiring to walk, have his children walk into. And it's an arena where you can see things to come. Oh, I give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Where the Holy Spirit is telling you things to come, where there's such a preparation. You know, every day we're shedding more and more of ourself. Our flesh is being crucified daily. That's why Jesus said, pick up your cross, but first deny yourself, then follow me. You know, that in within us our spirit is groaning to be more clothed with God's glory. To be clothed with His glory. Because that's where we belong. We desire, you know, we're fighting for the presence of God and we don't even realize it. And the world is being taken out by idols and false gods and idol worship and lusts and entanglements in the affairs of the world, greed, power for money, all kinds of other things. Self-promotion, self-exaltation, pride. It brings a temporary fulfillment, but there's a fulfillment where you and I can walk in this third dimension where God is pouring out new wine. It's happening, it's coming, and it's already started, but it's going to increase. It's going to increase. But you and I have a responsibility, and that is to deny ourselves constantly in that area. Constantly. You know, one of the things that we need to begin to do more often is, the Bible says, check yourself. Judge yourself. What's your motive? What's your desire? Why are you doing what you're doing? Is what you're doing to expand the kingdom of God and bring glory to His name, or is what you're doing to expand your own empire? Amen. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? Are you trying to build yourself a life, or are you allowing God to build your life? These are areas where the goat and the sheep are being separated, and I shared this a long time ago, and it's manifesting greatly. I have talked with individuals who are involved in tremendous big ministries where things even at the top are being exposed. God is exposing the goat. And His hope is that He will grant them repentance so that they become sheep. Where do you stand before God in every decision you make? Is everything that your decision that you make pleasing God? Or is your heart towards God when every decision you make? See, the Lord says, if you do this, I'll do that. God's new wine that has been pouring out has just been trickling, but I'm telling you, it's going to be pouring out in a great way, in a great and mighty way, and you're going to need to have this new wine to make it through for what is coming. Is everybody with me? Okay. Hallelujah. Turn to Hosea chapter 6. Oh, glory. Hosea chapter 6. I give you praise, Lord. Grant us revelation, please. Oh, Master. The name of the teaching is called New Wine. New Wine. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 6, starting at verse 1 through 3. Would you read it with me, please? Come, let us return to the Lord. Hello, you know what he's saying? He's saying, come on. Come on, return to me. Come on, no matter what you've gone through, where you've been, what you've touched, what you've said, what you know you shouldn't have done and you've done, forget it, repent, and turn to me. Return to me. For he has torn, but he will what? He will heal us. He has stricken, but he will what? Bind us up. After 2 days, he will what? Revive us, refresh us. On the third day he will what? Raise us up that we may what? Live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the truth of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will what? He will come to us like the rain. That's new wine. Like the latter and former rain to the earth. There's a new wine that you're going to begin to drink. There's a new point out of God's presence. You can't figure it out. That's all you can do is drink. It's happening even right now, even in this room tonight. There's something happening. You know, you're in this room tonight because God drew you, right? That's because he's trying to impart something. He's trying to expose you to you. Before you get exposed to everybody else. Because the moment you said, Lord, not my will, but your will. He said, okay, now your life is mine and it's no longer yours. Now give me it. And quit trying to build your life, because if you build your life, I'm going to expose your flesh. Nothing can sustain the presence of the Lord in flesh. Only God's presence. Only God's presence in your life. Does everybody understand that? Only his presence in your life can sustain his presence. And it's done by the blood. You know, there are many people who are still out there fornicating, claiming to be believers. There's many people out there still lying and cheating and doing all kinds of stuff, claiming to be believers. And you know what? They're going to miss that wine. But they're going to drink another wine. Oh, hallelujah. He said, listen, after 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. Now, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, hallelujah. Second Timothy chapter 3. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Praise you, Master. I'm sorry, not 2 Timothy. Did I say 2 Timothy? 2 Peter. 2 Timothy works too, huh? Maybe it is 2 Timothy. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's do it. Glory to God. 2 Peter, I'm sorry. Chapter 3. Is everybody there? Verse 8. Would you all read it with me? But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's a prophetic time sequence. From the time that Adam and the time of Jesus is 4,000 years. From that period of time, when the Spirit of God was poured out, that is known as the rain, or the pouring out of His Holy Spirit. That's when the church began. From that period to right now, it's an additional over 2,000 years. The Bible says that after 2 days, I will revive you, and on the third day, I will basically take you home. Does everybody understand that? We are right now in the generation that will be taken home. We are that generation. If you'll turn to the book of Matthew, and I believe it's in, oh, hallelujah. Matthew 20-something. I think it's 26 or 27. Go to Matthew 27. In verse 50, this is when Jesus was on the cross and he was dying, and he died right here. Matthew 27 and verse 50, would you read it with me? Then Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now remember something. This is where God was saying, okay, I forgive man. I am now making a way, an exit for you. Man is now able to come to heaven. And the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Now check this out. And the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Hello. They were revived, weren't they? They were there. They were brought from those tombs that were opened up, splits. Rocks were split and so forth. Tombs were opened up, and all of a sudden these bodies were shown all over. And 53. And says, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, which would have been after the third day, they went into this holy city and appeared to many. Hallelujah. That's what's happening right now with me and you. We are in the revived stage. The next stage that's going to manifest is that we are going to be taken home. Is everybody with me? But before we are taken home, there's going to be a lot of things that are going to be happening. And they already are. Go to Mark 13. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Oh, to God be the glory. What did I say to go? Mark 13? Okay. Mark 13 and verse 3. Let's start there. Read it with me. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John and Andrew answered him privately, tell us when all these things will be, and what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled. And Jesus answered, saying to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. You know, there are many people who are claiming to be the Messiah even now. In different religions and all kinds of... It's all over the place. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Are there rumors and wars going on? Big time. We're in one right now, aren't we? We're in the area where Satan's throne is at, Iraq. And that whole area is known as Babylon. We have actually crossed over on Satan's throne room territory, and he doesn't like it. You know why? Because the army of God is advancing. We are to take the land. Now we have outposts there of the kingdom of God. The gospel is being preached. TV stations are being set up. We're able to attack the Arab world. That is Satan's throne room. What holds the money? Oil. Isn't that Satan's control? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But the end is not yet. In verse 8, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, And there will be what? Earthquakes in various places. Have we had any earthquakes lately?
Yeah.
Amen. Do you know that 40,000 people were just killed because of the largest earthquake ever known?
Amen.
What did it hit? Hindu and Buddha countries. We're close. 40,000 people. Can you imagine a wave about 30 feet tall coming at you at 500 miles an hour? I'd say it'd do some damage. It's happened. It's happening. You cannot ignore the signs. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. I'm telling you, we've been in it and we're almost out of it. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils and you will be beaten in synagogues. I'm telling you, the Christian believers are being persecuted tremendously, even in this country. This country has never been so divided than it has been right now. Never. Because it used to be a common thing of Christianity. It used to be a common thing to have prayer in school. It would be okay to talk about Jesus and have 10 commandments. Now even judges are being overthrown. And the powers of darkness have their judges in our country. In our Supreme Court. That are supporting abortion. That are supporting same-sex marriages. All of these things defile God. And that's their whole purpose, is to defile God. The trends that are going on in this world. You know, even in the Old Testament, I shared this before, how Satan sets the trends. When they used to do outward rebellion, they used to shave their heads and pierce themselves. That was an outward rebellion towards God. Look at what the trend is now. Thank God he doesn't judge by sight. Amen? He says in verse 9, but watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils. In other words, you're going to be persecuted, even at your jobs. People are going to mock you. It's happening already. People are losing their jobs. Teachers are being removed because they want to teach, they don't want to teach evolution. Or they want to at least show them another theory that you were created in God's image and likeness. And they're losing their jobs. Can you imagine that? Look at the fornication that has been found in the church, even in the Catholic Church, right now, where all the exposure has been. Why? Because God is exposing. He's coming home for a blameless bride. First of all, He's going to move through the body. He will not return, man. I've said this before. He's going to return through the body. He's going to expose himself through the body of Christ by his Spirit before he physically returns. That's why he's cleaning his church. And the Bible says that judgment will be in the house of God first. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Man, we need to just get it out there, get it done, and go home. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, don't worry beforehand. Or don't try and figure out what you're supposed to speak. But whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that, for it's not you who will speak, but the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, brother will betray brother to death. And father his children. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. It's happening. It's happening. You know, even in families right now, some of the children are being rescued and the parents are still having a hard time. Somebody gets filled with the Holy Ghost and they call them a cult. What are you doing? What are you involved in? know, what's this? It's because the carnal mind can't understand the things of the Spirit. They've been so bound by religion because the ruler of the world is Satan, and he blinds the people so that they can't receive the things of God. That's his purpose, isn't it? But I'm telling you, this new wine that you and I are going to begin to drink, and already drinking little specks of it now, things are going to happen. There's going to be a mighty explosion of the Spirit. It's going to be like a huge light that's just going to go off through the body of Christ and spread right through like a nuclear weapon. And it's going to grab and catch as many people before the Lord returns. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Go to John chapter 2. You know, if you get an opportunity, check out and see what kind of disasters have happened this year. More than ever. Greater than ever. And it's going to continue to increase. John chapter 2. Starting at verse 1. Oh, I love it. Would you read this with me? On the what day? Oh, hallelujah! On the what day? Isn't it great that even Jesus rose on the what day? And it says that you and I will be revived on the second day, and we'll be what? Taken on the third day? On the third day, there was a what? A wedding. Is that ironic or what? Hello? Aren't we going to go to a wedding? It's still between you and Jesus. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of what? Wine. All that old, stinky, fermented wine of the law. When they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to a woman, now he didn't say mother, this is the first miracle Jesus manifested. He said, "Woman." Amen. Why? Because a whole new wine was about to come. It was about a whole new arena where Jesus was about to do a whole brand new thing. And he said, "Woman." Not mommy. Woman. Ooh, did she get revelation? You know what she realized? I'm no longer his mother. He is my Lord. Amen. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it. Because he's no longer my son. He is my Lord." Now there was how many? Six water pots. The number six means man. There were six water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. And when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to them, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." Ooh, especially for those who would follow him afterwards. So we see that man was about to change. He was about to change. Amen? How was he going to change? By this new wine that was about to be poured out. That was the day of Pentecost when God began to pour out his Spirit. But I'm telling you, even that era of time, things settled down, didn't it? The church was on fire. The wine was getting, they were drunk. Things were happening, manifestations were happening, and tremendously. It wasn't about people going to church, they were having church in homes. They were going from home to home and breaking bread and telling the truth, declaring the gospel, witnessing and telling people's experiences with the Lord. And the Lord was still visiting. He wasn't just sitting home doing nothing. He was visiting His people. And then things began to settle down because during the dark ages, the Word of God was taken away from the people. If you were found with the Word of God, you were persecuted, burned at the stake. Because now Satan had gotten hold of the church. He infiltrated, set some of his high-ranking officials in there. Things began to change. And the Spirit of the Lord became quenched. If you prayed in tongues, you were burnt at the stake. If you spoke of prophecies, they burned you, they called you a witch. And that went on for a long period of time. A very long period of time. But God wasn't done yet. He had a plan. And you're in it. Hallelujah. You know, it's an honor to be alive at this time. Amen. It's an honor to be called out of darkness. Right now, you and I could still be in darkness doing all the weird things that we used to do. But you and I were called right now specifically. But I'm going to share something with you. This new wine that God is pouring out, depending where you are in position, it will assist you or it will hurt you. Depends on you. Depends on where you are. Because what He's trying to do is cause His children to get in. You know, when we used to go to bars, we used to have to go in. The bar didn't come to you. It's called Joel's Place now. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Acts chapter something? 2? Acts 2. And they were all up in a room on this day. And in verse 4 it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And in verse 12, and so all around them they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this be? Others mocking, saying they are full of new wine. Hallelujah. They were mocking, but they were speaking the truth. The thing is, they couldn't understand the things of the Spirit. They kept looking at the things of the natural. Man, these guys are making wine. They must have a gin mill around here. These guys are proclaiming to know Jesus. Look at them. They're drunk. Mocking and saying they're full of new wine. It's amazing how people don't even know God sometimes speak the truth and they don't even know they're speaking the truth. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Oh, hallelujah. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. What days? The last days. That I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Now listen. Then it says, and I will show wonders in the heaven above. Man, we're seeing all kinds of things happening in the heavens. And signs in the earth beneath. Hello, those are called earthquakes. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great day awesome day of the Lord, and shall come to pass that whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we know that this is already begun, but it's not fulfilled yet, is it? But we're in it. It's not like we're halfway. You know what I'm saying? It's not like we're 3/4 of the way. It's like we're there. It can happen any moment now. Any moment. Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to Psalm 119, please. And it's quiet. Is everybody okay? Can we get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Psalm 119. Verse 83, I believe. Is it warm in here again? Wow. Must be that new wine. Glory. I mean, some of them are hot, some are putting jackets on. Whew. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 and verse 83. Drink and be merry, right? Oh, to God be the glory. Did I miss something? You know, I did. Okay. Start at verse 81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a what? A wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me!
Help.
They almost made an end of me on earth, but I did not forsake your precept. Revive me according to your loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. What did he say? I became a what? Wineskin. Go to Matthew 9. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 9. I'm starting at verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, why do we and the prophecies fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into an old wineskin. Or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into a new wineskins. And both are what? Preserved. Oh, let me tell you, this new wine is going to preserve you. Because you will not be able to maintain what's going to happen without drinking this new wine. It's very important. And we've talked about this before, about, you know, when people used to remove their sorrows and so forth, they'd go get drunk and whatever, although the sorrows really were not removed. You know, they just got worse. spirit of oppression will come all upon them. But I'm telling you, this new wine that God is pouring out and trickling on us now, but it's going to pour out tremendously. You're going to see things. You're not going to be affected by everything around you. You'll be able to see things in the spirit. You won't be caught up in woe is me and all these emotions, humanistic emotions. You'll be standing strong in the spirit of God Almighty. He's bringing His church to that right now. But first He's exposing. Because the reason why He's exposing is so that repentance will be granted. The blood will go before the Spirit. Amen? Because the blood always goes before the Spirit. Oh, to God be the glory. That's new wine that is divine. The old legalistic ways and stuff like this, and people trying to play religion, will not be able to hold this wine. Won't work. You know why? Because there won't be a new wineskin. Go to Psalm 104. Oh, to God be the glory. Psalm 104. Starting at verse 14 and 15. Psalm 104, 14 and 15. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. Now, three things he talks about here. All of these are involved in something being crushed. Hello? All of these are involved with something being crushed. Right, okay, wine is crushed with what? Grapes. Oil is with what? Olives. And bread is with what? Wheat or flour, right? Has everybody got it? All of these must be crushed. It's called pruning. Oh, praise be to God. Wine makes one glad. So as you're going through all of these circumstances and whatever, you're going to be at peace and enjoy no matter what's going on. You will not be able to be moved by your circumstances no matter what, because you're drinking of new wine. But first you must be crushed. Uh-oh. Love that crushing. It's called pruning. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Would you turn to Isaiah 55? You mean I'm not crushed enough? No. Yeah, when you stop complaining, then you're crushed enough. When you stop grumbling, you stop wanting to do what you want to do. Hallelujah. It's a loving crush. It's like somebody giving you a bear hug. You're all your spine going, getting adjustment. Isaiah 55. Oh, to God be the glory. Starting at verse 1 through 5, would you read it with me? Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters and you have no money. Come buy and eat. Yes, come buy what? Wine and milk. Without money and without price. Do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you, because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Let me share something with you. As this wine continues to be poured out, first of all, the wine is a representation of covenant also, because it's a cup of wine, isn't it? If you're a covenant-keeping child of God, this wine is available to you. If you're a covenant-keeping child of God, the wine will be available to you. And we see here that he will glorify you because in this wine is blessings. The cup always carries it. It's called the cup of blessing. Amen? Go to Luke 22. Oh, hallelujah. Luke 22. In verse 14. Is everybody with me? Okay. Would you read it with me? When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to him, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. So here is this cup of wine that is also a representation in this new wine. It's a representation of covenant. This is where the promise of God. Let me share something with you. This is where he's going to begin to do exceedingly abundantly far above all you could ever ask or think. As long as you are a covenant-keeping child, and I'm not doing a preaching on covenant tonight, but we do have one. It is very, very important that you are covenant-keeping. Covenant-keeping means no fornication. Hello? Keeping oneself clean from the ways of the world. Covenant-keeping. I'll go to 1 Corinthians 11. And again. Is everybody there? Are you sure? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28. Glory, let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, isn't that powerful? That's talking about communion, isn't it? A representation of covenant keeping. You know, we talk about this when we have communion on Sundays. Remind everyone if somebody takes it in an unworthy manner. He said, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or die. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the what? With the world. Be careful not to trample this new wine. It's also a representation of the grace of God. Go to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 16 and verse 17. Hallelujah. Oh, it's good to hear pages turning on a Tuesday night. Revelation 16 and verse 17. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as a mighty and great earthquake, as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Hello. You know, things are happening. Now the great city was divided in three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and the great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every what? Island fled. Remember what just happened. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail fell from heaven upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. Fierceness of his wrath is in the cup of the wine. In other words, they will drink of the wine also, but it won't. Oh, it's going to affect them differently. Does everybody understand that? If you're in position, the wine's going to affect you differently compared to someone who's out of position. But everyone will drink of it. Everyone. Oh, hallelujah. So, let's see. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. No, I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm preaching truth. You heard it, now you're accountable. Hallelujah. First Corinthians chapter 10. Well, I just don't believe that. I can go do all kinds of stuff. Well, I've accepted Jesus 20 years ago, and I'm still going to bars and drinking, and I'm still fornicating, and I'm still lusting. Well, you ain't going home. Hello. No drunkard shall enter the kingdom of God. No fornicator shall enter the kingdom of God. Anyone who practices such things will not enter the kingdom of God. He says, if you love me, you obey me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from what? Idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to what? Demons. And not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Ooh. And what's he saying? Come on out of that world. You cannot drink of the... You can't play both sides. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Won't make it. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Oh, hallelujah. We need this new wine. We need this new wine to make it through. We need this new wine to make it through temptation, tribulation, accusation, persecution, and frustration. Hello? That's why God is getting ready to pour out. Listen, He supplies for whatever is needed then. If He sends you somewhere, He supplies what you need. If you're called to do something, He's going to supply what you need to fulfill what you're supposed to do. And He knows what's going on right now and what's about to happen. And He will supply what you need right then. And we're going to need this new wine and to be filled with this new wine that He's pouring out so we can make it through temptations, tribulations, accusations, persecutions, and frustrations. And one of the things you're going to be frustrated about in certain areas is what you're seeing and why people don't see what you see. Yeah. Why are they still doing this? Yeah. That's frustration. That's what the Lord says, many are coming, learning and never coming to the truth. It's frustration to watch somebody come to Bible study after Bible study, worship service after worship service, and then go drink the cup of demons. It's frustrating. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Would you read it with me? Praise be to God. Therefore, if anyone is in what?
Christ.
If anyone's drinking that new wine, hallelujah, here's a what? See, that's how you maintain that new creation, is by drinking new wine. Old things have what? And behold, all things have become what?
New.
All things have become new. Everything. You know, the devil loves to put things on us. People accept it. They accept it. Okay. I'm labeled. The Bible talks about there's going to in the end times that there's going to be a mark of the beast on the head and on the hand. Well, as a person thinks, so he is, right? See, one of the things the devil's going to try to do. Let me tell you, the mark of the beast is not that's going to be manifested in the. In these last days, but the mark of the beast is still here now. Because if he can cause you to think things, to do them, you're marked. Now the world might not see it, but God does, and so do the demons. So do the angels. They see the mark on us. That's why the Bible says that you and I are sealed. We are marked with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We're marked. But we don't want to have the mark of the beast on us. So as a man thinketh, so he is, or so he does. Oh, hallelujah. So as you are a new creation in Christ, old things have passed away, because the devil's always going to try and bring you to the arena of looking back and bringing the things from back to forward. You know what? So, if something comes upon you, people just accept it. Okay. It's mine. I'll just take it. Oppression. It's mine. I claim it. Fear, I'll take it. Two of them. Lust. Oh, come on, Mr. Lust. It's mine. You know, no matter what it is, this is where we must learn separation. Sickness. Oh. You got any medication with that? I'll take it. It's mine. But the Word says that you're a new creation in Christ. All things have passed away. And God is pouring out His new wine. As you drink of this new wine, you're going to have such more revelation that I don't have to accept that. I will not accept that. I will not accept poverty. The Bible says that I am blessed with every spiritual blessing and seated in heavenly places. The Lord says He's not giving me a spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. He says, no plague nor disease shall come near my dwelling place, as long as I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. that the angels will go before me because he's a consuming fire, and I have the power and authority over all creation. All creation, that's right, because I'm co-creator with my dad. Why? Because I was thought of and brought forth before creation was. So that was called before the world was even manifested. Does everybody understand that? He's gone before us already. It's already done. Now we're just walking it out. We must go through this time sequence for fulfilled. But there's a third dimension where you and I can walk in with this wine where you're no longer bound by space or time. Fears and anxieties and stress, they'll fall at your side. It's not about what you can do, it's what he's already done. Does everybody understand that what you're doing is you're claiming what he's done already? What you're separating, you're taking what the devil's trying to label you, the world's trying to label you. Bipolar, no polar, and every polar. I talk to people on the phone every day, they call me from Lakeside. They claim everything that place has got to offer them. It's phenomenal. Well, how did you get their oppression? Well, what do you have now? This, and this. They come out with a book of labels. We have to peel them off of them one at a time. Stick your hands up and drop that medication. It's a Holy Ghost stick up. Stick those hands up and drop that medication. And come out in Jesus' name. Don't accept it. Don't claim it. Separate it. It's not yours. Lust is not yours. Now you have the choice. But you have the power to choose. Hallelujah. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he's talking about good fruit. Everybody bears fruit. Sometimes it's rotten. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Hallelujah, that's called squeeze. That it may bear more fruit. So God's trying to get us to a place where we're bearing more fruit. Why? So more wine can come. Hallelujah. Why? Where's the wine going to come through? His body. Remember, he's coming through his body first before he personally comes. Amen? What's the first miracle he did? He changed water into what? Wine. That miracle's still manifesting. It's not ceased. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 16. To what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions, saying, we played the flute for you. You did not dance. We mourned to you. And you did not lament. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he's got a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. Listen, Jesus wants me and you to be a wine bibber. Not of the natural wine, but of the holy wine, the divine wine. It's amazing how they mocked Jesus because he drank with them. He didn't get drunk. Hello? He didn't get drunk, but he hung out with them. Why? Because he was trying to rescue them. He was trying to rescue them. He went into the areas where everybody who supposedly carried the truth wouldn't go to. But he was bringing those who didn't know the truth new wine. He was bringing them something to drink of his presence. There was something when he got in their presence they couldn't comprehend. They only knew that there was a drawing and there was a fulfillment of his presence right where he was at. Something that, see, when they were drinking, they weren't drinking. So I can imagine though these guys, everybody around Jesus drinking, all of a sudden they'd lay their cups down. You know what? This cup ain't doing it. But whatever he says is. Something's filling me and it ain't from this cup. That's the cup of demons. But I'm getting filled and something's happening in me from what he's saying in his presence. That's a cup of new wine. But they call him a wine bibber. So be a wine bibber of divine wine. New wine. Praise God. Isaiah 43. Oh, hallelujah. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Isaiah 43, verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse and the army and the power. They shall lie down together and they shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things. Hello? Nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a what? A new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, and the jackals and ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give what? Drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall what? Declare my praise. Oh, hallelujah. That new wine, this new wine that God is pouring out is going to declare His honor and His praise. Romans 6. Hallelujah. Remember, the wine is for us to maintain. The wine is for us to go through. What's coming? God is increasing His pouring out of the Spirit. There's a new wine and a new thing happening. Will you either drink of the wine of wrath or the wine of blessing? One or the other. In Romans 6, starting at verse 1, would you read it with me? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life with the new wine. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. You know, this new wine is going to bring a lot of death to self. That's happening. Death to self. Self-desires. Me, myself, and I, the Trinity of Satan. Trinity of the flesh. Me, myself, and I. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead. In other words, reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. One of the things that the wine does is begin to expose. It's trying to make way in every area. You know, if you were to put, you ever have ice cubes in a glass and you begin to pour a drink in it, water or whatever, juice, you see that it's the water or the liquid is trying to make way into every area, but there's things in the way called ice. And it begins to be exposed. You can actually see the ice more. And it begins to melt because of the touching of the liquid. And that's what the new wine is doing. It's beginning to expose so it can melt or expose these things in our life that we can just be solidly filled with this new wine with no interferences. Nothing between you and God. So we need to walk in the newness of life with this new wine. In Romans 7, in verse 5. For when we are in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Where are you bearing fruit now? Are you bearing fruit? Good fruit? Rotten fruit? No fruit? That's rotten fruit. Are you bearing fruit to death or fruit to life? But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So we see two things that he says. He said we're to walk in the newness and serve in the newness. Why? Because God is doing another new thing by the new wine that he's pouring out. Now I want to close in Revelation 19. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 19. Is everybody all right? You ready for this new wine? Praise God. In verse 11 through 16, would you read it with me? Revelation chapter 19. It says, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judged and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. It's a time again of preparation. It's a time of walking in another dimension. God is bringing us to this place. Don't look back. Keep going. You can't change what's happened in your life in the past, but you can change right now. Things can be brand new tonight. Things can be brand new. That's all you need to go to Him, is repent for touching unclean things, doing the things that you know are offending to Him in every way. And let that new wine come. Oh, just lift your hands to heaven and just ask Him to fill you with His new wine tonight. And anything that you need to do before Him tonight, just do it. Do it. Lord, we repent for every area of our life. Lord, we desire and we thirst and hunger for this new wine. We know that we need You, Lord, and we know that we need to be filled with Your Spirit to be able to maintain. Lord, I'm asking tonight that You'll remove the scales from the eyes and the hardening of any heart. I come against the spirit of ridicule and accusation, bitterness, stress and anxiety. I come against the spirit of woe is me and the lie of loneliness. I come against the unbelieving spirit and the deceptive spirit. I come against every power of darkness that would hinder the people of God in this room. And Lord, I'm asking that You'll speak to Your people in dreams. In dreams, Lord. Grant them revelation through Your Word and manifestation through Your Spirit. And we promise to give You all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.